Good morning. It's good to see everybody out this morning. So today we are going to imagine ourselves going back in time. What I mean by that is just imagine that it's the last week of October, because that is when this lesson was supposed to be preached, or that was scheduled to be preached. And then as we began the process of elders, we kind of push this to the back burner a little bit, but thankfully that there are 5 weeks, or at least 5 Sundays in November, and so it will spread it out a little bit. We won't have to do lessons back to back or anything, but this was the October lesson for our 2020 or Vision 2020 theme. So we'll get back on track with that today. I want to just first go through what we've talked about so far, and because there's a lot of information, I know this is really small, most of the other slides are a little bit bigger, but we talked at the very beginning of the year, and I know it seems like 15 years ago, but it was just at the beginning of 2020. We talked about God being the creator of light, and how, you know, He, and what that means to us, and then we talked about God being light. And so within these two lessons, we talked about, you know, God being light inserted part of Himself into His creation. You know, by creating light and God being light, He put part of Himself in that creation. We talked about, and we'll reference a little bit today, the thought of thy word is a lamp to my feet. And so God's word is guiding our paths. It's showing us where to go, where to walk. We looked at the enlightened heart. How do we, you know, take what is guiding us and how do we, you know, get it into our own heart, and what does that mean, and how is that going to be expressed in our own lives? We looked at the Mount of Transfiguration and Jesus shining like the sun and the references that are made there, and how, again, that affects us. We looked at, you know, Jesus being the light of the world, which we'll kind of again come back to today. And we talked about, you know, a light to blind eyes, how to open the eyes of those who have darkness within them. And then we talked two lessons, deliver us from darkness and disguised as light. Instead of talking about light necessarily, we talked about darkness and that relationship that we have, and how to remove that darkness and you know, cause that light to be within us. And so it's kind of hard for us, I think, to imagine a place of utter darkness, right? We have so much light, don't we? You know, think about as it gets darker and darker, and, you know, we're losing light during, or daylight, you know, during the day. What do? When it gets dark, we turn on a light. So as we're here tonight, when we gather together tonight, this building is not going to really be much darker. It will be a little bit darker because there are, you know, there is some light shining through the windows, but it's not going to be much darker tonight than it is today. It's not going to be much darker in this building on Wednesday evening at 7:30 than it is right now, because we have access to light all the time. All we have to do is flip that switch. And what happens when the lights go out? What happens when our electricity goes out? You know, we do this all the time. There's a competition in our house. When we lose our electricity, the person that flips the light switches the most while the lights are out loses. Because it is a natural habit, isn't it? We have a light switch in our new house that controls absolutely nothing. Because I actually opened it up and looked in there, and it's not connected to anything. So there's just a random light switch in our house that controls nothing. Guess what we do every time we walk into the room? Turn that switch. We're just so used to having light, it's hard for us to imagine this place of utter darkness. We have access to it all the time. But I want you to notice in Genesis chapter 6, spiritually speaking, Genesis chapter 6, starting in verse 5, the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thought of his heart was on evil continually. The Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. The Lord said, I will blot out man whom I have created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. And then he goes on to mention that Noah found favor or grace in the eyes of God. So when we think about this spiritual darkness that Noah was living in, it is hard to imagine that what we have right now today, it's hard to imagine that being worse, isn't it? How, you know, the thoughts of mankind are just on evil continually. And that's what we feel like today, doesn't it? It was worse back then. Now again, we don't have, you know, population records. We don't know how many people were living on the earth at that particular period of time. But it's hard for us to imagine that something was worse than what we've got going on right now. But certainly it was. And so in John chapter 8 and verse 12, Jesus again spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in the darkness, but will have the light of life. So Jesus can keep us from walking in that darkness. That's why he came to this world. But what I want us to understand, at least partially today, is that that light, walking in that light, has consequences too. Just like walking in darkness has consequences, walking in light is also going to have its consequences. I will tell you straight up that the benefits of walking in the light will far outweigh the negative consequences. But there are going to be consequences of walking in the light. And I want to examine what it means today for ourselves. We've talked about Jesus being the light of the world. Jesus says, I am the light of the world, right? But what I want to talk about today is us being the light of the world. The first thing that I want to notice today is that lights, as we know them, need to be turned on. It is a decision. If we are going to be the light of the world, it is a decision that we are going to make. We are not the S-U-N son, and we are not the S-O-N son of God. Right? So think about our sun, S-U-N, that's in the sky, that shines its light all the time. We are not that. We don't have a light of our own. We can't shine that light. And so now think about the S-O-N, Son of God, in that same respect. He is the S-U-N in this analogy. He's the sun. He has light. We do not. So in this analogy, we are the moon. We talk about that all the time. But what does the moon have to do? Because it does not have light of its own, it has to position itself to reflect the light of the sun. When he says, he who follows me, right? It is a decision that we make to reflect the light of the sun. We, as the moon in this analogy, have to position ourselves in such a way so that we can reflect the light of the sun. It doesn't happen automatically. It doesn't happen automatically because we don't have light of our own. We have to reflect His. And so it has to be a conscious decision, a conscious effort has to be made to be able to turn on that light. And to be considered light ourselves, our conduct needs to match His. Notice again that He says, he who follows me will have the light, or will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8, we're told there, the Ephesian brethren were told, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Then he goes on and says, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Why is it that we would try to learn what was pleasing to God? Well, Paul is telling them that they need to learn what's pleasing to God so that they can do it, right? He says, you need to walk in light. That was your former life that he was speaking of earlier. So that's your former life, but that's not what your life is supposed to be now. Now he wants you to walk in the light. Walk as children of light. Well, what does that mean? Well, in verse 9, we see, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. So what does that mean? Simply being kind, doing the right thing, and doing the right thing in the right way. In all goodness, that's kindness, doing kind things for others. Righteousness, meaning doing the right thing in any and every situation. And then in truth, doing those things, but in the right way and for the right reasons. So what happens then when we make that conscious effort, when we make that conscious decision to flip on the light, what happens? Well, again, think about it in your own life. If you're in bed at night and you have to wake up to, you know, you hear a noise, you got to go to the bathroom, you need a drink of water, whatever it is that you do when you wake up in the middle of the night, if you turn on a light switch, what happens? You're blinded by it, right? Know that song, now that it'll be stuck in your head, Blinded by the Light? It's going to be stuck in your head the rest of the day, sorry. But we know that song, and there's a reason for that, right? That light switch comes on when we're in total darkness, and it's really not total darkness, we think it is, but it's really not total darkness. When that light switch comes on, it blinds us for a moment, doesn't it? We have to adjust to that light. Well, guess what happens when we're Christians and we're exposed to the light? In Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 11, he says, "Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light." He tells us to expose those unfruitful deeds of the darkness. Now, what that's going to do is it's going to expose it. When the light comes on, that's exactly what it's going to do. It's going to expose unfruitful deeds. That can come from ourselves, right? When we look in God's Word and read it and read about Jesus, our ultimate example, I don't know about you, but a lot of times I go, ooh, I am way off. Right? There's a lot of things that I'm missing. There's a lot of things that I'm not doing. Maybe I'm the only one. I don't know. But when I look and see what I'm supposed to be doing and match that up to what I actually am doing, so many times there's a gap. That's exactly what the light does. It exposes what needs to be seen. Tony, there's a lot of things that you need to change. There's a lot of things that you need to do differently, that you need to get better at. It's going to expose that. But here's the thing, when we start doing them, when we start doing what is right, we start changing our lives, guess what it's going to do to the people around us? It's going to expose them to the light. Do people like that? Not in many cases, do they? They'll start calling you names. Oh, goody two-shoes, right? You can't laugh at that joke like everybody else does. You think you're too good. You can't come with us to this party because you think you're better than us. And you may very well not think that you're better, but that's what they believe in that moment. And because their deeds have been exposed in that moment. And it's uncomfortable and they don't like it. But does that mean that you change? That you make the conscious decision to turn that light off as to not offend them? It's going to expose. That is what is going to happen. It is going to expose. That's what it's meant to do. The unfruitful deeds of darkness. But we can't shut off our light to make others comfortable. It's going to shine all the time. Now, might there be opportunities that we can, if you've got one of those faders, you know, on your light switch, might it be that we have to turn that light on a little bit at a time around others? Sure. But it will never be total darkness. It should never be total darkness. The light needs to be on all the time. And we need to be doing what we are supposed to be doing all the time. So when we turn that light on, where is it that it needs to shine? Well, look at Philippians chapter 2, starting in verse 14. We're told there, do all things without grumbling or disputing, which is difficult in and of itself. But it says, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. Notice what he says, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain, nor toil in vain. He tells us there that our light is to shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. When our generation, when our world is so crooked and perverse, even the smallest bit of light is going to offend some people, isn't it? When things are pitch dark and you're so used to darkness all the time, even a little bit of light is going to hurt your eyes or is going to hurt other people's eyes. But think about how crooked and perverse this generation is. Think about abortion. And again, I shouldn't even say abortion. I don't even like the term, because it is a term that has been created to downplay what it actually is, murdering babies. That's exactly what abortion is. We call it abortion, we know that term, but that term was created in, if you're going to abort something, you stop it, right, before it gets going. It's too late. What they do now is murder. It's not stopping something before it gets started. It's something that is absolutely completely murdering something that is alive, that God has created. I'm going to take a deep breath and stop. Okay? We redefined marriage. Marriage can be anything that you want it to be, and it's only getting worse. It is no longer between one man and one woman. We see it over and over and over, how much marriage, something that God created for us to enjoy, is being skewed. The drugs, the alcohol, all of the things in this world that show that this is a crooked and perverse generation. God says, your light needs to shine there. Are people going to like it? No, they're not going to like it. But some of them know they need it. When that light turns on, it's one of the best way to wake up the kids, right? Their room is pitch dark. You can't get them up. You can't, they keep rolling over. One of the best things that you can do is turn on that bright light, because they know they need to get up. They need to get moving. But when it's completely dark, they don't have the motivation to do so. And so when we turn on that light, it motivates other people. Now, they may not like it at first, but it's meant to motivate other people to do what they need to do as well. In John chapter 1, we also see, just reading verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Where does our light need to shine? Not only in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, but it needs to shine in the darkness. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, and that's what God made possible. He made it possible for us to shine out of darkness through sending His Son. The one, it says, for God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so He makes it even possible for us to shine in darkness. Again, we have to understand that turning on the light is a conscious effort on our part. We don't do that naturally. But God gave us the ability, He gave us the opportunity to shine in darkness, because we were in darkness until we became a child of God. And that's when we turn that light on. Where does that light need to shine? in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. It says, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." Let your light shine before men. People are going to see it. If we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, if we're shining our lights, if we're flipping that switch and turning that light on, if we're shining the way that we're supposed to be shined, people are going to see it. But what I want you to understand is that we don't do it to be seen. It's a hard line to draw sometimes. We want to be Christians. We want to be Christians all the time so that other people will see us, see our good deeds, and glorify God, which we'll get to in just a minute. But we don't do it to be seen. It's just if we're doing it, we're going to be seen. Someone is going to see us doing it, and it's going to have an effect on them. But we're not supposed to do it to be seen. But we are supposed to shine our lights to men, before men, to the world. But so oftentimes, we may shine it here, which is easy to shine here, right? It's easy to come amongst other Christians and be the light that we're supposed to be. We shine it at home. It's a little easier to shine, around maybe our family and doing the right things. But when we get out into the world and that world is dark, don't we feel awkward sometimes trying to shine that light in the midst of that crooked and perverse generation, in the midst of that darkness? It feels awkward. It feels odd. We need to get over that feeling. We still need to continue to shine and to do what's right so that other people will see. Not doing it for that reason, just doing it knowing that other people will see it. So we know it's a decision that we make to turn on that light. We know where our light is supposed to shine, but why? Sometimes we forget the why of things. You know, we want our children to obey us, and they say, "Why?" Parents in unison, "Because I said so," right? That's a lot of times the reason that we give. Well, sometimes kids do need more than that. I agree that there are times when our children just need to obey us just because. I'll get to that in a moment. However, there are times that children do truly need to understand why they do something. It helps them. You know, I can remember a time when I was a kid, all of the things that we used to do, I knew that we did them, but I didn't understand the concept of why. And I can remember being very little, and I don't know how little I was, probably 4 or 5 years old. But I can remember my grandma, who would be my dad's mom. We used to go over there every Sunday after services, and she always liked to talk about, she didn't really attend, but she always liked to talk to us about what we learned and what we were doing. And she was asking about communion one day. And she was asking me about it, like I said, 4 or 5 years, at least I hope I was that young. I hope it wasn't much older than that. But when she was asking me about partaking of the communion, my concept was, you eat, you drink, and then you pay for it. That was in my 4 or 5 year old mind, that's what was happening. I knew we did it. I knew that everybody ate something. I knew that everybody got something to drink, and then they put the money in the basket when I went around. And so my concept of that, while I knew it was necessary, I didn't understand at all why we did what we did. To me, it was you ate something, you drank something, and then you paid for it. It was a restaurant, in essence. I didn't understand the why. And I can remember as I got older, starting to understand the why, the reason behind why we did certain things that we did. Because a lot of times we just assume, well, I'm telling you this is what it is, and you just do it because that's what we've said. First and foremost, the why, in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16, again, he tells us that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Men will see your good deeds and glorify God. That's part of the why. Why do you do it? So that God can be glorified. Not you, but God. how often do we do things and we want to get some credit for it? Right? How often do we do something for our children or our family and we want to get that credit for it? Think about when you do those good deeds, when you're shining your light, what is your purpose for shining that light? The very last Psalm, 150, the very last verse of that Psalm says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." And then he magnifies that by saying again, "Praise the Lord." Is that what we're doing? Is that why we flip that switch? Is that why we turn on that light? I hope that it is. To glorify God. People can see, yes, our good deeds, but glorify God who is in heaven. Again, we touched on this just a moment ago. We shine so that the light, the world, will have access to that light. Very few people are going to pick this book up on their own. Now, some people may think, you know, oh, I need to get, you know, I need to learn more. I need to learn more about God. Or they may know I need to go to church. Or they may know little things. But very few people are going to pick this up on their own and make decisions on their own without some sort of guidance, without some sort of help. And a lot of times that help, that guidance is going to come from us. Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, "For God, who said, 'Light shall shine out of darkness,' is the one who has shown in our hearts," notice, "to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So the reason that we have access to that light that God sent His Son to shine for us so that we can have light, the reason, notice what He says, "to give the light." So not only do we have it, but we also need to give it. It is to show the world the light. Now look at what He says prior to that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 3 and 4. "And even if our gospel is veiled," notice it says, "it is veiled to those who are perishing, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is in the image of God." That's what Satan's job is, to blind people to the light of Christ. Our job is to reflect Christ's light in such a way that it cannot be blinded, that others cannot be blinded by it. That's our job as Christians, to show our lights. That's the why, so that other people will see us and want to be like Him. Not that they will see us and want to be like us, that they will see us and want to be more like Him. And finally, why do we shine our lights? Because God said so. There are those times. And hopefully we can understand those times as parents, that the time to tell our children, you know, "because I said so," is not necessarily the first time through. But there is going to come that time when something is, you know, dire, something is pressing, and we need them to act quickly. That may be the time to put that out there. After you've tried to explain it to them 137 times, right? At some point, we may have to say, "Listen, I'm telling you to do it. You just need to do it." There are times that God does that as well. Most of the time, God will explain to us why He's asking us to do certain things. But there are going to be times when, yes, we do need to do it just because God said so. In Matthew 5, starting in verse 14 again, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden." You cannot hide it. "Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house." Then He says, "Let your light shine before men." Don't hide it. It needs to be turned on. You need to turn it on. And that's the why. It can be difficult, certainly, to shine as lights. I want you to notice what Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting in verse 7. We've looked at verse 6 a couple of different times. But I want you to notice what Paul says to the Corinthians, starting in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves. Notice what he says. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. Notice what Paul was saying. All of these things, yes, people beat us down. Yes, we're afflicted. Yes, we don't understand everything. We're persecuted. We're struck down. But not completely. We're not destroyed. Paul was saying, through all the things that he had been through, I'm still shining. They cannot put out that light. All the things that we may go through and the disappointments that we may go through, all of those things, and he goes down through this list. Yes, we're afflicted in every way, but God doesn't allow us to be crushed. Yes, we're perplexed. Yes, we may not understand everything, but not to the point of despair. Yes, we are persecuted, but God hasn't left us. Yes, we are struck down, but God will not allow us to be destroyed. Paul said, my light is still shining, even through all of this. Our lights should still be shining as well. But I want us to understand today that our light needs to be turned on. If you're here and you're not a child of God, not become a Christian by being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, that's how we turn that light on. That's how we begin the process. That light needs turned on, and it needs to stay on, and it needs to be turned on in the right places. You know, so oftentimes we can turn them on and off when we want to. Oh, I'm around other Christians, I better turn my light on. Oh, I'm around people of the world, I better turn it off. No, it needs to stay on all the time. Even when we're by ourselves, which is something we didn't mention, that light needs to stay on. And we need to do those things for the right reasons. If you're here and you are a child of God, you've once turned that light on, but maybe you aren't allowing your light to shine in the right places, and maybe you're not allowing your light to shine for the right reasons, you have time and opportunity to make those things right with your God today. If you're here and not a Christian, or if you're here and you're a child of God who has fallen away, there's time and opportunity right now to make those things right with your God. If you're here and subject to God's invitation in any way, won't you please come to the front seat while we stand and while we sing.